the Lord, praise the Lord.
Blog Talk Radio.
Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we thank you for another blessed day. Father, I pray, Lord God, for the presence of your Spirit to be with us. Shed light in areas that appear to be dark unto us. Father, I pray that through this broadcast that eyes will be open, ears will be open, hearts will be touched. Lord God, I thank you, Lord, for the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And Father, I thank you for your word that you have sent from heaven. So, Lord, everyone that is listening tonight and everyone that inquires to know if this is true or not, Father, I pray that you will witness to them right now by your Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God, we will give you glory and honor and praise. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Praise be to God. God bless all of you once again on this blessed Wednesday night. And other parts of the world, you that are listening, maybe Thursday morning or Thursday evening. But no matter what part of the day it is, this is Brother Nate with another God's Man broadcast. And I want to welcome you to the broadcast this day. Truly indeed, I thank God for you all that are listening. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Now, if you have any prayer requests, hey, the phone lines are open at all times. Call in. If you have any comments, any questions, the phone lines are open at all times. Call in. 323-870-3403. Now, if you don't like doing it over there, just contact us at the email address, godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's GODSWRD, the number 2. MAN@gmail.com. And once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we'll give unto you. Praise be to God. So we thank God for another blessed day. And I want to say Happy New Year to all of you that are listening. This is the year 2020. I'm looking for the movement of God this year. Also going to be some tests this year. But praise be to God. Those who put their trust in the Lord will make it through. Amen. Praise be to God. Tonight, I want to continue on with the 90th message. Those of you who were listening last night, you know that the Lord had me to come from this 90th message that he has sent out. I want to say to you all that are first-time listeners, Jesus Christ is Lord. And the next thing I want you to know is that he's been doing a work in these last days, sending his angel, who was called the Elijah, the resurrected John the Baptist, mentioned in Matthew 17 and Malachi 4, who was also called that prophet, Deuteronomy chapter 18, Acts chapter 3, amen, the messenger of the Lord to come in these last days, Malachi chapter 3. And we thank God for that. And the Lord has been sending his word thus far from 1927 far to 1994. In 1927, all the way to the year of, I believe it was 1933, he sent the first 30 messages to a brother named Brother Otto Fetty. Amen. Through his angelic messenger. And thus far, he has sent the last 90 messages from 1937 to 1994, to a brother named Brother W.A. Draves, who passed in 1994. I was blessed to meet Brother Draves, knew him for about 4 years because I got saved in 1990. That's the first year I met him. Once again, I have to say about him, and I'm not saying no one else is humble, but that thus far has been the most humblest person I have ever met in my life, and very humble. And the Lord had been sending an angel to him, a message to mankind and they that will be of the bride of the Lord. And so I want to come once again from one of the messages called the 90th message. And Jesus sent it out July the 10th, 1970 at 2:15 a.m. Jesus sent the Elijah to Brother Dre's with this message to give it to all mankind. Amen. And once again, I want to stress about the angels of the Lord. They come at the appointed time of the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't come at our appointed time. We don't have, it was not reserved to us to get an appointment book and make out the appointment book and say, I'm going to have this angel come this time, blah, blah, this day, uh-uh. Rest assured, if you are visited by an angel of the Lord, rest assured that if he visits you, the time that he visits you, God appointed him to come and visit you at that time. He did not come on your time, okay? Now, we got to remember that because sometimes people get off balance concerning angels and think that angels come at that time. And no. Now, you may pray and say, God, I send an angel, blah, blah, blah. But even if God sent an angel, it's not going to be on your time. It's going to be on his time. And rest assured that if you are visited by an angel of the Lord, you don't have to worry about God not being aware of it. You understand what I'm saying? You got to worry about when you pray to God. To God, when your angel came and God said, what? My who came? When he come? You ain't got to worry about it. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, yesterday, I gave you some of the words for this 90th message that the Lord wanted me to give out. And we're going to continue on today from this 90th message and take a few more verses or however many of the verses that the Holy Ghost allows me to go. Amen. I sense the Holy Ghost when I said that. Praise be to God. Amen. Now, in this 90th message, here's another thing that God said through the sending of his angel. He said, fret not over what men may say of you. You have those to stand by you in this work. Respect ye one another and love each other by being faithful to this work of redemption, the plan of God. Do you hear that? God said to fret not. The word fret means to worry. Don't worry over what men may say of you. Amen. Hallelujah. Since the Spirit of the Lord upon me, as I just heard about Shatta, just read that. God said, you have those to stand by you and this work. Jesus has commissioned not only me, but others who have received this word to tell you, the listeners who have yet to receive, about this work of the sending of the Elijah and the purpose of why he's sending. I can't worry about what some of you may say about me in presenting that. Now, just like, for example, here in this town of Durant, we have had some to call us devil worshipers. Amen. And see, when you worry about proclaiming the word of the Lord, when you worry about what men say of you, it can cause you to fall in disobedience. Amen. I say you have those to stand by you. Okay? And sometimes we might not see them right then. But don't worry, God is going to manifest them unto you. In fact, there are people probably around you that you're not aware of that will stand with you concerning the work of the Lord. Amen. But see, when you worry about what men may say, because presenting this work of the Lord is very strange, get this, to many that profess to be Christians. I'm not talking about sinners. You can say that's obvious. It would be strange to do. But when you're talking about people that claim to be Christians and you're proclaiming this work of the Lord, which you are coming from Scripture, even in the Bible, and it's still strange to them, then you go, wait a minute, something ain't right. And to many Christians to hear that Jesus had been sending an angel. And on top of that, this angel who's called Elijah, on top of that, who is no other than the resurrected John the Baptist, sounds strange to them. In fact, not only did it sound strange, they said, oh, no, that's just not of God. Amen. When the Lord started revealing to me about this work, I thank God for it. I was excited. Joy had filled my heart. But he also caused me to be aware of something. And I became aware of something. That with the knowledge and revelation of knowing about this work, also going to come the persecution. Amen. Which means that everybody, or everybody that even claiming to be a Christian, not only just some sinners now, everybody that claiming to be a Christian, is not going to receive this message that Jesus has for me to tell them. Amen. They're not going to want to hear that. In fact, many of them are going to think that I'm crazy, as some of you. When you proclaim the work of the Lord, there are going to be some church folks that think that you're just plain crazy. And when you talk about, well, you know, the Lord had been sending an angel, then they get all buck-eyed. And you think that, you know, you may have thought you told them, say, go jump off the bridge head first. And they shocked that you said it. That's how they act. Amen. And some Christians are so gripped with worry. Worry about who's going to say this about them. Worry about who's going to say that about them. When they're proclaiming the work of the Lord, that they fall in disobedience. And instead of opening your mouth when God has commanded you, you'll keep it shut. Because you worry about what your good friend, who you grew up with and threw pebbles in the water together, is going to say about you. About, hey, you know, the Lord's been sending his angel. Or, hey, Jesus is doing this. Or Jesus is doing that. And now you're worried about what they're going to think about you. Now you have fallen into disobedience. I don't want to be like that, people. I don't want to fret or worry about, I don't care if you my friend, my wife, my kids, none of them, people in the church with, I don't care who you are. I don't want to worry about what you're going to say about me. Amen? Now, the other thing we must understand about this statement that the Lord said, he said, fret not what men may say of you, especially, okay, you know, some people say, well, I don't care what they think about me. Okay, I understand that, but make sure you're in right standing. In other words, you know, you got some claim to be Christian. They going out there and doing all kinds of dirt, undermining stuff, and talking about, I don't care what people think about me. Just like you doing something right. No, we ain't talking about that. We're talking about when it comes to standing in right standing with God, and you have to proclaim the work of the Lord, like we got to proclaim this message of the sending of Elijah to the listeners, to the people out there in the world. We can't worry about what men are going to say about us. Are they going to talk about us? Yeah, they're going to talk about us. It's going to be a whole lot of talk about us. They're going to call us anywhere from a cult to whatever. Okay, but we can't worry about that. Now, it's interesting that Jesus said, okay, Jesus said, you have those who stand by you this work. Amen. See, sometimes we are aware of people who are standing by us in this work. But get this, sometimes we want certain other people. Oh, yeah. Well, let's be real about it. Sometimes we want that good friend of ours we grew up with. And so we're worried about what he or she will think about us. Amen. See, the important thing is that you get somebody to stand with you in this work. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, he also goes on to say in this verse, he said, respect ye one another, lift each other by being faithful to this work of redemption, the plan of God. Now, something, the Lord said, respect ye one another. You know, one of the things, families, destroying nations, destroying churches, the lack of R-E-S-P-E-C-T, the lack of respect. Amen. Hallelujah. Look at this glory. Look at this nation alone. Look at how great disrespect is. People are disrespecting one another so bad they ain't respecting even what the other person own. Amen. There's people just because you got a garage, where you park your car at and you ain't at the house, if they over to the neighbor's house, they will park the car in your garage without asking you. And here you are coming home like, who is this in my garage? You find out they go, oh man, I'll move it. But you never got permission to do it. I'm telling you, even stuff like that. Disrespect. People are not, I've gotten to a point, they're not respecting each other anymore. Amen. The disrespect has gone on in the churches. Hallelujah. Amen. You got people, leaders in the pulpit disrespecting their members because, see, since the members are under their authority, they're looking down on their members and they're talking to them disrespectfully. Come on, let's be honest about it. Let's be real. They're talking to them disrespectfully. They treat them disrespectfully. Why? Because they're looking down on them because, hey, I'm behind the pulpit. I'm the leader. And see, pride have set in and caused you to disrespect those under your leadership. Amen. And then you've got those who in the pews are disrespecting the leadership. Doing stuff in the service, disrupting the service. Amen. And then when God give it up, says the Lord through your leadership, because you feel like you know him, you don't pay that message no attention. Oh, that just Brother Nate. Yeah. Oh, okay. Lack of respect. We fall out of respect even in the church with one another. And God said, respect you one another. Who is he talking to? Christians. Now, if we already was respecting one another, why would God send an angel to tell us respect one another? He was already doing it. Because we ain't doing it. Not like we should. And then in the home, oh my God, it just, husband disrespecting wife disrespecting husband, kids disrespecting the parents, disrespect just going all down the line. What kind of peace you think come from that? None. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. No respect at all. And he said, respect one another. When you fall out of respect, you're going to have a problem. You're going to have a problem. So he said, respect one another and live each other by being faithful to this work of redemption, the plan of God. Now, in that last part, he said, live each other by being faithful in this work of redemption, the plan of God. That was something else God dealt with me in those words, of those words right there. When he said, lift up one another. When he said, lift each other by being faithful. And this is, now, some of us think that to encourage someone and lifting one up, it always takes words. And don't get me wrong, words does help us to lift up one another. But also, you can encourage or discourage someone by your actions. Because notice he said, lift each other by being faithful. He didn't say being just talking or just speaking words of encouragement. He said, but by being faithful to this plan of redemption. Hallelujah. For example, you got husband and wife. Now, if that husband is not being faithful to the marriage, is that going to lift his wife up or discourage her? Discourage her. Okay? It ain't just his words that can discourage her. It's her seeing that he's not faithful to the marriage. That's the same way with the wife. The wife is not being faithful to the marriage. You think that's going to encourage her? You think they're going to lift her husband up? No. And what has happened among men that claim to be Christians, they're not being faithful to the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is discouraging others. Amen. When you got the pews looking at the pastor who got this attitude that he don't really care about doing the work of the Lord, he shows up late every time, sometimes he halfway shows up, then he acts like he don't want to do nothing. Is that encouraging? Is that lifting up the members concerning the word of the Lord? No. That's the same way with the pastor. How you think your pastor feel, layman, where that he's trying to teach you the word, you ain't paying a bit of attention. And then you're not applying that word in your life. See, some of y'all don't know this, but many of us in a leadership position, we can tell when someone is applying that word to their life or not. Amen. You can. You can pick up it. You can pick it up spiritually. There are those I have seen. I can tell. And just in my spirit, they walk according to the word. I can tell it. And there's others I can tell, they ain't doing it. Amen. You think that's going to encourage your pastor to know that you don't have a mind for the work of the Lord? You think that's going to lift them up? They don't lift them up. That's why the Lord said, lift each other by being faithful in this work of redemption, the plan of God. See, I got to be faithful in proclaiming this message to you, the listener. Because there are others that's looking at me too. And if they see that me being called as apostle is not being faithful in spreading this message, how's that going to lift them up? It's not going to lift them up. It's going to discourage them. Guess what? It's going to displease God. Amen. Hallelujah. I sense the Holy Ghost behind that. This work of redemption, he called it the plan of God. Amen. Glory to God. The next thing he said, and I pray that you, as I deliver this message, I pray that you will really pay close attention. Now, some of you listening may say, okay, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt and hear this. And you may not sense nothing. But just because you don't sense it, don't think that it's not true. And don't think that because you don't sense it, that you don't leave to go ask Christ about it. Okay? Now, some of you listening, you may say, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. I'm going to listen. You may not sense nothing, but still go back and ask Jesus. That's what I'm told to tell you. Now, there are going to be others of you that may get an witness, and some others may say, man, playing crazy. If Jesus ain't sending no angel. And probably cut me off already. Now, he goes on to say, and please hear this. He said, every tree, the churches, you see what the tree represents. See, symbolically in the scripture, trees represent people. Just like in the book of Psalms, David said, just like you're going to be just like a tree planted by the waters. So he said, every tree, the churches, the Lord is not that shall be rooted up. And let me stop for a minute. So when Jesus says this to his angel, that tells me that every church that claimed the name of God or the name of Jesus Christ has not been planted by the Lord. Amen. This say none of them, but it tells me every one of them haven't been planted by the Lord. Because if every tree, every church that claimed God or Jesus was planted by Jesus, there would be no need for him to make this statement right here. Amen. So there are some churches that the Lord has not planted. And God said they're going to be rooted up. Now, notice what I read to you. He said that every tree, the churches, the Lord has not planted shall be rooted up. He didn't just say shall fall down. Because when you want to get rid of a tree completely, you have to take it up by its roots. Not just cut it off and leave the roots there. Okay. But see, that roots and all that, where it rooted at, it nourished to the tree. Okay? So when he said every tree, the church of the Lord has not planted to be rooted up, God talking about completely removed. To a point that they won't be able to grow again. See, every growth, per se, of churches is not good. or not in God's way. Now you say, well, wait a minute, Brother Nate, what are you talking about? God is against growing? No, I didn't say that. But there are some churches out there that is not of God getting a whole lot of members. They don't have Jesus or the Father. Why? Because remember in the Bible, the Word of God tells you that if you don't abide in the doctrine of Christ, you don't have the Father or the Son. And there are churches, they don't abide in the teaching of Jesus Christ. They got a whole lot of members. See, some of you is centered on growth. Now, don't get me wrong. I'll say this again. God wants growth. He wants it in the right way. A statement I just made before that about how some of you center on growth, you come to church just because you only see five in a church. Oh, this church ain't no good. Amen. And you think when you go visit another church and you see 50 or 100 people, oh, this church is of the Lord. How do you know that out of those 100 people that all of them is being faithful? It may be two or three just being faithful to the Lord. The other 97 or 98 straddling the fence and doing whatever they want to do. That pleasing the Lord? No. Amen. So God is for growth, but in the right way. So here's the thing I want to say to you. If the growth come the right way, welcome it. But don't be so hung up on just the numbers. Because if you get too hung up on the numbers, that means you compromise truth just to get more people. That's what's going on today in many of the churches. Many of the leaders are compromising the word of God just to get members. Amen. And therefore, they're not planted by God. Amen. Hallelujah. So he said, every tree, the churches, the Lord had not planted to be reared up. There are many false claims and proclaims that is of the evil one to get gain and make merchandise of the word of God. Do you hear that? Look at today, some or whoever is telling you just to get healing, putting up money. Now, when you leave people with that impression that the only way they could get healed is that they got to give $1,000 or $2,000, stuff like that, then my question is this. What about the people in the Bible that didn't have money and Jesus healed them? See, this money thing, this is hallelujah. Lord, have mercy on the people that's overdoing this. Now, does God talk about sowing seed? Sure he does. Seed is not always sowing seed. It's not always money. It can be time. But you got some ministers out there. They study asking for money. But here's the thing. Sowing seed toward healing. All of that. And leaving you the impression that the only way you could get your healing is you have to have money. What if you didn't have $1,000? Give you an example. Some years ago, I came across this particular church, and I won't name them right now. Some of y'all might know what I'm talking about. They write you letters, send it to you in the mail, send you a little book. I don't know if it's a book like a Bible, like. And so years ago, they start, you know, writing me and stuff like that. And so I start opening up the letters. And when I open up the letters, you know, they say, well, you know, we believe God going to do this. Jesus going to do this for you, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, at the end of the letter, you know what happened. Seed of this and that. Okay. And so I'm going to tell you, I sold the seed to them. And so what happened was, at the time go on with this particular church, they don't send you letters just once a year, something like that. They'll come a little bit more regular. I don't know if it's like once a month or something like that. And Each one of the letters, now each one of the letters they sent me, besides I can remember maybe one, they always was asking for sowing seed. Then they went to start saying sowing double and all that. One letter I remember I got from them, they did not ask for money. Now here's the kicker of why I bring this up. And why I tell you about people making the wrong impression, sending you the wrong impression, and making the Word of God merchandise. That was this particular time that they sent me a letter like normal, but they sent something else in the letter, another little small envelope package in the letter. And on the right of the letter, you know, they were saying God this and God bless you that. And then on the regular letter, they said, well, there are seven prophetic things that God has said for you. But here's the thing. Those seven prophetic things were sealed in that little envelope thing that was in there with the letter. Now get this. They said that on the letter, the only way I can open that little sealed envelope with the seven quote prophetic words from the Lord for me is that I answer the letter that they sent me, you know, the main letter. And some of you say, well, what do you mean after the letter? Answering the letter to mean send money in. Because on that, on the bigger letter, they was asking for money on that. But then they also told me in the letter, if I don't answer the letter, destroy that little packet with the seven prophetic words. I said, wait a minute now, hold on. So I can't get the prophetic word from God because I didn't give that money. Amen. And see, there are many churches who is out to make merchandise of the Word of God. And the Lord said here, false claims and proclaims. They claiming Jesus on this and Jesus on that, and they are proclaiming to the people that which is false, that is not from God. God told me this. God told me that if you... five of y'all, $3,000, blah, 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 just to get money, make merchandise. But, you know, God got a word for you, but you got to sow that $3,000. Huh? Another minister I dealt with, and he has been on TV, I don't know about lately, you know, because I don't have that same, what they call satellite like I used to. In fact, I heard one time he was even put in jail one time. But I sowed a seed to him one time. And he still kept sending me letters continually and asking for money every time. So I wrote him a letter back. And I asked the question. I said, is the only time I'm going to get a blessing from the Lord is when I'm sending money? You know, he never answered that back. In fact, when I sent that letter off, months by before he said anything, and next thing I know, I got a phone call, and it was his computer saying, this is so-and-so. You know, God is going to cut this merchandising of his word out. You know that? God is going to cut it out. Pray for those that's doing that, because of judgment come. Trying to make merchandise out of off the word of God. False claims and proclaim. In other words, lying. Okay? That's what many of them doing. And he says, it is of the evil one to get gain and make merchandise of the word of God. It's of the devil. Amen. The devil is causing many of them to go out there and do these false claims and proclaim. It's of the evil one. And see, there are some that's discovering the evil behind it, and it's discouraging them and causing them to turn away from God. That's why those that's doing it, you better repent. Yes, God requires us time to sow seed with money, but not every single time, people. We come on this broadcast. Many times we are on here 7 days a week. We don't talk to y'all, the listeners, about giving money. Oh, give $100. We don't keep doing that. We don't do that. We've been on Blog Talk Radio 3 years. And for those of you that have been listening, you know we have not done that. We don't go around asking for... Now, if you want to sow a seed of donation and God feed your heart. Okay, okay, fine. But as far as us just keep coming at you by giving money, no, we don't do that. Because that's not God's way. Now, some of the ministers hear me telling y'all they will get hot mad. In fact, they'll be blowing the top right now. Well, the Lord said, but see, you overdoing it. You're going overboard. Amen. That's how I'm getting these big companies and houses. Oh, yeah, I had to go there with that. I had to. Because they have put this mark on people that the only way you're going to get this blessing is that you got to give this this kind of money and blah, blah, this and that. My God, God have mercy upon them. I pray that they repent because once again, the curse of judgment is going to come upon them. Robbing the people. Halaba shakta. People have turned away from the Lord because they found out that, oh, Pastor so-and-so, he's just a scammer. All he wants is money. And then they carry that uppity spirit, that spirit of pride, because they ride in the Bentleys and live in the big houses and walk around. Now, for many times, they don't even have time for the people. People be wanting to see them. Oh, I need to talk to Pastor. Oh, Pastor busy now. Oh, you can talk to so-and-so over there. It ain't got like that, people. And now the people look and say, man, the pastor ain't nothing but about money, man. Get that, you know. Amen. He goes on to say, when man is not humble, his soul is not calm. Know ye, it is not of the Lord. Why? Because God is the God of peace. He's not the author of confusion. God's not running around, you know, having you disturbed. If you're going around disturbed, one thing you better look and see if it ain't a curse. The devil wants you disturbed, but not God. Hallelujah. He goes on and said, now some you think to be your friends is laboring for Satan, seeking to destroy your good in this world. Wow. As Brother Lee would say, wow. Just imagine God has sent you this message and said, some you think to be your friends is laboring for Satan. Now, he didn't call out no specific names. Because, see, God has to reveal so much to you over a period of time. If he dropped the whole thing on you, you wouldn't be able to handle it. Amen. Because I know some of you will be saying, well, if you said some, I think, who is it? I got quite a few friends. Who is it? It's going to be revealed over time. But God has given that word for you to be watchful. Some of them claim to be a brother or sister laboring for Satan. Don't worry, God's going to put a cloak on it. You know, you ain't seen it yet. You haven't seen it, and you're probably thinking, oh, who is it? Who could it be? But don't worry, God's going to put a cloak on it. Right when they think that they're not going to be seen, they're going to be seen. God's going to pull the cover off, just like that. And you're going to see the whole ordeal. Okay? Plus, God has to get your heart prepared for when you find out, quote, who it is. It might be somebody who you know, really close to. Okay? Amen. Hallelujah. God said they're laboring for Satan. Seeking to destroy your good in this work. They seeking to destroy. That means they planning stuff. Amen. Hallelujah. See, this is why we need Jesus. Because, see, we can't be watchful on everything. See, people can be planning stuff behind our back, under our feet, whatever, and we don't be aware of it. But God is, and that's why God pulled the cloak, open your eyes, and you go, hey, you've been doing this thing. They be looking like, how did you know? So everybody that coming up smiling to you, patting you on the back, oh, great job. Act like the friend, but ain't being a friend, okay? God said, beware. And even as I go forth proclaim this work, God said that word for me too. God let me know. Some that I think to be my friends are labeled for Satan. They seek to destroy my good and this work. I don't know exactly who they are, but God is going to unveil them over time because, hey, they plotting and scheming for me to fall. God is going to open that and they're going to fall into themselves, but God is going to expose them. Hallelujah. He goes on to say, those that will work together, stay together in faith and good works. me read that again. Those that will work together, stay together in faith and good works. If you're not willing to work together, you won't be able to stay together in faith. That's why some Christian, one of the reasons why some Christian homes break up. People in the home not willing to work together. Husband not willing to work together. Wife ain't willing to work together with husband. Kids not willing to work together. See, God, the Lord Jesus Christ, wants Christian homes. Okay? And he wants Christian homes that operate by the God of faith. Well, if you got people in the house that ain't willing to work together, they can't stay together. He said in the word of the Lord, those that will work together, that chooses, stay together in faith and work. I shouldn't have to force you. This is not only just in the home, in the church too, the church home. I shouldn't have to force you or just virtually grab you and drag you to work together with me. You should. Free will want to do it, okay? But see how many churches don't stay together because you got people pulling all different directions. They're not willing to work together. Therefore, they can't stay together in faith. That's why the church that Jesus is coming back for is going to stay together in faith. Why? Because they're going to be a people that's going to be willing to work together. As Brother Frederick Price said, hallelujah. He goes on to say, those that would not come to understanding of my teachings, what I have to say to all ministry, unless they hear and follow through, their works will not stand, and in the end, they will not be there. Did you hear that? This is what Jesus permitted his angel, the Elijah, gave him authority. He said, those that would not come to us of my teaching, that would not be, they refuse. Some people refuse to try to want to understand anything. Some people refuse to want to know. They are what you call willingly ignorant. They, by their own will, they don't want to know no more. And God said, Jesus said, those that would not come to understand of my teaching, or the teaching that Jesus is doing, the sending the Elijah, the teaching that he had given Elijah, the resurrected John the Baptist, to give us in the word to teach us, he said, what I have to say to all ministry, not some ministry. Once again, I've said it before. Our God is not prejudiced. He's not biased. He's not saying, now listen, I just want it for y'all and hide it. Don't give it to nobody else. No. The angel, the Elijah said, what I have to say to all ministry. Ain't no big eyes and little Jews. All ministry need to hear this word. All ministry need to know about this work. All ministry need to know that Jesus is acting right now in the fulfilling of his word by sending the Elijah that he promised in Matthew 17 and Malachi chapter 4 when he said, I would send the Elijah before the great and dreadful day, which is the second coming of Christ. The day that Christ come back, he said, I'm going to send the Elijah before him, and he's going to turn the hearts of the father to the children, and the hearts of the children to the father, lest I smite the earth with the curse. See, all ministry needs to know this. I know some ministry. My God, we got all. That's why God has to fix us here in Christendom. Okay? We just got so prejudiced and biased and gender bias, and you name it. You need to know it, and they don't need to know. And give it to somebody who needs somebody. Oh, come on. Amen. Hallelujah. He said their work would not stand, and in the end, they would not be there. Their works would not stand. Why? Because it won't be built on the foundation of Christ. Remember the wise and foolish man. One house stood, the other house failed. Amen. See, this work of the Lord and sending the Elijah, had been bringing the extra oil. Amen? Hallelujah. And that's why he said, if you don't come to understanding, and not only come here and follow through with it, he said, your works will not stand. And you will not be there. Amen. Won't stand what? Won't stand the test. Amen. It won't be under the anointing. Remember the parable of the 10 virgins? Well, remember when the bridegroom came, the wise went in with him. The foolish was not there. Why? They went to them and buy and sell and buy for themselves. Why? They ran out of oil. The oil representing the anointing, the Holy Ghost, as well as the word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's see. We got time for one more. He said, behold, it was said by the Christ that I come not eating nor drinking, and men say I have a devil. But it is they wherein is the devil. Fear them not, be calm, for I come and I speak the truth. Remember, Jesus said in the Bible, he said in John, that John didn't come eating or drinking. He didn't come as a gluttonous man or a wine bibber, because that's what God would say. But yet still, y'all say he got a devil. Okay? But the Lord said, those who saying that, it is they that wherein is the devil. In the proclaiming of this work, no doubt they've already did it, and it's going to come up. Some more going to say, I have a devil. When I tell them about this work of the Lord Jesus, sending the Elijah, they're going to say, you have a devil. But Jesus said unto them, it's you where the devil is at. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lord. Shut up. Thank you. Hallelujah. God said, fear them not. Be calm, for I come. And I speak the truth. That's what the angel authorized to say, fear them not. Yeah, they're going to say, I have a devil. And everybody else that have received this word, they're going to say it about them too. You got a devil. There ain't nobody but the devil. The devil is there. You ain't nothing but salt. Hallelujah. Glory. But Jesus is going to back me up, and he's going to back up everybody else that have received this message. And God's going to show his hand in power. Hallelujah. Even to those who talk about, you got a devil. He said, fear them not, be calm. In other words, God said, don't let them agitate you. Don't let them get you all disturbed. Be calm. God, you know, and as we close right here, you know, Jesus already is warning me as well as others that have received this word from him. You're going to be persecuted. You're going to be talked about. You're going to be said you got a devil, even by the church folks. Not to them. Yeah, I'm not going to say every sinner going to hear and receive this message. No, that's not it. Every one of them is not. But I guarantee you, the beams of the fire coming out of the mouth of the people going to be coming from the church folks at you. Amen. When you tell this and you stop feeling, oh, he coming from their mouth. That fire persecution that they're going to come out at us. Amen. Well, you can say here, anyhow, whatever you want to say. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God, for the message tonight, the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah, Bosha. It's truly been a blessing. Truly been a blessing. I thank God for this word. Let us pray. Father, we thank you once again for the living word. We thank you, Lord, once again for you giving this message. Thank you for the presence of your spirit, the power of the Holy Ghost, the anointing power of Jesus Christ, because Jesus, you are Lord. I pray that everyone that was listening was touched by your spirit this day. And Father, I thank you for this opportunity you have given me to present it. And Lord, you said you will water the seed that I've sown. And look to your word for that. In the name of Jesus, give you glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Thank God for all of you that have been listening to the broadcast. Don't forget, tomorrow night, the Lord say the same. Look for another God's Word to Men broadcast, 7 o'clock p.m. Look for the advertisement. Praise be to God. Thank God for all you've been listening. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Men broadcast. May God bless you. May he keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.